Hi there, I'm Rebecca Lowe. Welcome along to the latest edition of the Premier League on NBC podcast, where you can get the latest, can't-miss content from NBC's coverage of one of the best leagues in the world. Be sure to tune in on weekends at 7 a.m. Eastern for Premier League mornings on NBCSN and Peacock Premium. But for now, we hope you enjoy the latest edition of the Premier League on NBC podcast. We're going to start by talking, though, about the title race and reflecting really on what happened yesterday. When you look at it, Robbie, not often do we see that big three all playing on a Saturday. So it kind of gives us a chance to really compare them. One was the early game, one was the middle, and one was the end. They're all very different, Chelsea, City and Liverpool. How different? What makes them different?
It's a good point. They are very different. Let's start with the top, Manchester City. For me, Rebecca, they're redefining football in the Premier League. The way they play, it's pass almost by to death, pass by 1,000 passes that eventually they're going to find a way. The opposition get drawn, they get probed, they get pulled. Eventually, it's like your hands up in the air, just score, will you, and get this over. They're going to have more possession than the opposition. They're going to have more chances than the opposition. The question is, are they going to take them? We know there's no striker. It's a false nine. Let's go to Liverpool. Where you see with Liverpool, I think Jurgen Klopp once called it heavy metal football. Well, it looks like this season they've turned the decibels up. I mean, their intensity, their energy, their drive and their goals. 44 goals this season. And they've got the best goal scorer in the league in Mo Salah. 13 goals, 9 assists already. You put Mane and Jota in there and Firmino when he comes back. And Origi, if you throw him on like yesterday, their goal threat and the way they play is always going to put teams on the back foot. And then Chelsea do it in a slightly different way. I think Chelsea are a bit more calculated, a bit more efficient. They control the opposition better than anybody else, where they've had less shots against them. They'd only conceded 6 goals up till yesterday, conceded 3 at the London Stadium. But just feel with Tuchel's team, 16 goal scorers already this season is kind of a good thing, but they need a main goal scorer and they need a bit of stability, maybe Lukaku, to be at the top of the pitch for them.
Tim, if I put you in the shoes of, say, a new Premier League fan, maybe over here in the United States, making their first trip to the United Kingdom to watch a Premier League game, and they had money for just the one ticket, would you advise them to do a Liverpool game, a Chelsea game, or a City game, and why?
It would have to be Liverpool, the way they play. Robbie talked about it. I mean, we look at the front players. They press you all over the pitch. They're ruthless and relentless in that press. You know, they're going to finish the season with 3 goal scorers, that will have 15-plus goals. And if Firmino gets himself back fully fit, he'll have double digits as well. That's unheard of. I mean, for a Premier League team to have 4 strikers in that type of form is unheard of. But it's also due down to the fact that that's how Klopp sets his team up. It's high energy, high octane, on the front foot, in your face. So if you're going to pay good money, you want to see good football. You want to be entertained. That's the team you have to see. City are interesting because they almost look bored when they get on the football pitch. It's so easy for them. They have 6 world-class players up the front of the park. Cancelo is a left back who comes into the middle of the pitch. He quarterbacks everything. And there's sometimes where you're just like, they almost look tired of being so dominant. So it's an interesting one for me. I think you have to go see Liverpool.
Robbie talked about and used that phrase, redefining football, the City are redefining football. Do you think actually all 3 of them have taken English football forward this season?
Well, without question, when you go back and you look at Arsenal and Manchester United and even Chelsea at times, it was buy the best players in the world because we have the most money and we're just going to power through you. We're going to run over the top of you. We're going to play forward, pass forward. This has been different. You have 3 teams in the title race, 3 different managers who all see the game slightly differently. That's a breath of fresh air.
Here's one problem if you're a Liverpool fan, though. Yeah. Are you not a little concerned that come January, Mo Salah and Sadio Mane are going to the African Nations Cup and could miss a significant number of games, Rob?
For 2 reasons. 1, because of Manchester City. They will lose Mahrez, but Man City this time of year, if you look back to last season, Rebecca, tend to go on a run and could find themselves 6, 7, 8 points gap by the time those players come back. The second thing is, obviously, you're going to miss a lot of goals. Now, from Klopp's point of view, can he get Firmino fit? Can he get Origi on the pitch? And then with Jota, maybe there's enough in those 3. And the 2 games they definitely miss will be Brentford and Palace in the league. There's a possibility of Chelsea early in January, which I believe they'll be back for. But Leicester at home could be a difficult game if those players aren't back.
Plus an FA Cup game as well. Does it worry you, Tim?
It worries me a little bit, but I do think Jota, Firmino, and Origi as a front three can help them keep pace. I don't know if they can leapfrog them, but certainly keep pace during that time.
Okay, they've just got to hang on in there and wait for the likes of Salah and Mane to be back and hope that their respective countries get knocked out as quickly as possible from the African Nations Cup.
Pep, what's your assessment of your team and that performance today?
Yeah, a tough month we played and we finished this one and a really good performance. We missed a lot of chances. Hopefully next time we will convert.
Were you getting frustrated during the start of the game when you were getting so many chances?
No, yeah, of course you were disappointed because the game should be over quicker. But we are in the routine, I would say, or in the level that they are consistent the way we play. When that's happened, you can never be frustrated. So football, the most difficult thing is put the ball in the net, in the last pass, the last action. That is the most difficult thing in football. But the way we play was really good again.
What did you like in particular about the way you
played
today?
Everything. We know that we should adapt for the long ball, second balls, not let them run, because in the counter-attack we saw the games against United and Chelsea and even Leicester that they create a lot of chances running. They didn't run much. And our game was really good, and we found the players when we believe we could find them, and we scored three beautiful goals, and we could score more.
You said in the week, I think, that Bernardo Silva right now is the best player in the league in terms of his form. What is he adding to his game with the goals he's getting as well?
No, I want to say thank you, because after what I said, he, with the performance again he has done, he didn't make me wrong. So thank you. He did it well. So, yeah, you know, as a player, can play in many positions. He's so smart, so intuitive, and now he's scoring goals, winning games. So this is so important for us as well.
You said you had lots of chances. Jack Grealish had four or five. When you took him off, you said something to him that seemed to make him laugh, seemed to make him smile. What did you say to Jack Grealish when you took him off?
No, he said that he enjoyed in this position, touching the ball, and he said yes. He enjoyed playing in that position. That's good. The creative players, when playing in the middle, have contact with the ball is good, but still is a little bit away from his best condition. He was, 10 days, 15 days or 20 days off, so he needs rhythm, but his 60 minutes was good for him.
Do you think that's a position you could use him more often in that central role?
No, it depends on his performance. If Phil can play there, in the 5 minutes he Phil played there, was incredible. Would he play the same, we play Bruges, that Phil has his special ability to play in this position. But players can play in different positions. Gabriel inside, outside. So important is everybody knows in the position he has to play. They must know, they know exactly what they have to do for the benefit for the team.
Perhaps the only negative today was it looked like an injury to Gabriel Jesus. How bad is that injury? He carried on.
Well,
you clearly weren't happy with it.
Absolutely, yeah. What happened in the last 5 minutes, he cannot play. He's out for the injury. You know? Okay, he's orange. Maybe it's not yellow, maybe it's not red, or maybe it's orange, but it's an action he goes, and after some time, defender hug the opponent, his red card. So, but hopefully it's just a kick, a knock, and he can play on Tuesday in Germany.
That win takes you to the top of the table for the first time this season. Is that significant in your mind?
No, anecdotic. It's better to be there, but we're going to draw points and hopefully the openings as well. Long road or path still for everyone, but it's better after the calendar we had. So we don't forget the week we had Paris Saint-Germain, Chelsea, Liverpool all together, and after, except Arsenal, all the top six, top seven were away this season in the first half. And we are consistent because away we are an incredible consistent team. And Etihad Stadium, with other people, we can, beat the contenders six up front. So we will be chanced for the last five, six games to fight for retain the title.
Thank you, Pep.
You're very welcome.
Well, Jürgen, a manager starts with plan A. What plan were you up to by the end of the game?
I don't know. We changed the system during the game. We We changed the offensive structure during the game. We wanted to adapt already in the, or we had to learn from the game, because the start was obviously not really convincing. When we was just like to, we were not, was not 100% sure how we can play against them. We had only 3 days ago a completely different game, had one session, so it was clear that we had to learn in the game. But we did very well in the first half. We played between the lines incredibly well. We just didn't finish the situations off, which is in football not really good, because usually you don't get these chances back. But we had in the second half as well massive chances, didn't finish them, and then you need to stay on track and to fight yourself through and to try to keep yourself positive for this one moment. And obviously, Divock Origi, the legend, finished it off. It's absolutely a great story.
He is absolutely a cult figure amongst the Liverpool supporters, isn't he?
He should be.
And he said when he went out there, you said to him, go out there and be Divock. What does that mean?
No, he's just... is an incredible striker, so for different reasons he didn't play that often, but I really wish for him that he at one point that he finds a manager who plays him much more often than I do. But I love the boy, really, because his skill set is outstanding. He's one of the best finishers I ever saw in my life, how you saw now as well. But for some reason, in this great team, in this really good team, he has not now 500 minutes per week. But he's a very positive boy and loves the club and loves the boys and wants really to contribute, and he did that today in an incredible way.
To win the Premier League, they say you have to do it on a cold night in Stoke. Today you have to do it on a windy Saturday afternoon in Wolverhampton.
Absolutely, and I couldn't love it more, to be honest. It's absolutely great, because we stand here and we feel how difficult it was, obviously, today, because the wind is not only cold, it makes makes it really tricky to play proper football. And we were obviously the team to play football today. The other team defended, which is absolutely fine, and played long balls, which is really tricky to defend when you have Traoré, the threat of Traoré behind you. We did well then. Deserved the 3 points. We got them all fine.
And in context with Chelsea, what happened with them today? It's such an important Saturday afternoon for you, isn't it?
Yeah, but honestly, the other results are now really not important. We have just—I don't even know exactly how many points we have. We have just to win football games. We played 3 days ago the derby, and it's easy to focus on the derby, obviously, because it's the game of the year. And then you have this little drop. We have need to in a recovery period where you have to say, "Come on, switch off. Don't think about football now for the next 72 hours." All the time, and then you start a machine again, and I liked it really a lot. How we fought ourselves today in the game was really good and will help us a lot.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thomas, how big a setback is that today? I mean, the second half, it just seemed to slip out of your grasp.
Yeah. I don't think we did a bad match. It was an okay match. We can win with this performance even here. It's tough to play here. We did too many individual mistakes today. We did already against Man United. We did already against Watford and got punished for it. And if you want to have result on this kind of level, you have to minimize the mistakes. We talked about it before, which did obviously not help. And that's the story.
You've been so organised and disciplined at the back. When you're talking about presenting opportunities to them, I suppose that means the penalty. I mean, does the goalkeeper have to put that in row Z?
Yeah, everybody is involved. I mean, the pass is not the best decision to pass this ball back. We're not like the orientation is not the best, and then we can save it, but decision making is also not the best from Edwin this moment. And then suddenly you concede, even you score a second one and you lead half time. We created a lot of half chances. We have a lot of touches in the box, but could not, like, sometimes you need a bit of luck, maybe with a deflected shot, with a loose ball that falls to our feet. This what we did not have. And then I think the second goal is a goal that you can concede. But the third one, again, is a strange one. And in general, like the two big chances that in first half is completely our individual mistakes.
And you did have some individual moments of greatness. Thiago Silva, his goal, his goal line clearance, yeah. Then Mason Mount's volley. Little moments in the game. It's just, did you want to go on from that and just finish it off?
Yeah, we wanted to, but obviously we could not finish it with clear chances and better chances and be more ruthless. struggled a bit and struggled also in defending today in some situations. So, but like when Tia cleared the ball on the line, I think we have a horrible, it's right after our goal, and we have a horrible pass back into the feet of the opponent. You cannot do this on this level. This is a top four Premier League level. This is way too many mistakes. This is impossible to make so many mistakes and expect a result.
Is this kind of a little bump in the road for you? In terms
of course, of every loss is a bump in the road that will not hold us back from what we demand from us. But we need to play more accurate. We need to play more stable, and we need to reduce big mistakes.
Thank you, Thomas.
First of all, Robbie, your reaction to that victory from Ranić?
First game back, he's got his first win, and that was the most important thing. I think he'll know the size of the job, in that the quality of the players that he has doesn't always show in the quality of football that they've got. And while he wants to press and play a certain way, I think he'll have to look at some of the players and adapt it, so a bit of give and take. But first day, first win, that's what it's all about.
First response from you?
Well, the win's important. That was first and foremost. His job is to come in here, stabilize things, move them up the table. When we talk about tactically, I just think it's all about partnerships for him. In the formation that he wants to play, keeps it narrow, but you have to work together. And it will take time for those players to form partnership, but it looked pretty good today.
Ralph, well done. A winning start. What did you make of it?
I'm very happy with the way that the team performed, the way they played, especially the first half hour was exceptional, I thought. Extreme high intensity and tempo. The only thing that was missing in that period of the game was the 1 or 2 nil. But the way the team defended as a team, the whole game, we had control on the game. So I'm very happy with the game, the performance, but also with the result. Clean sheet, that's the most important part.
How big is that? It's just United's third clean sheet all season.
I mean, I said from the very beginning when I had my first press conference, this is the things that we have to improve on. We need to produce clean sheets. We need to have and get control on the game. And with only one training session, or it was not even a full training session, what they did, what they showed today, was more than I expected, to be honest.
And is that something for you to build on, even after just one game defensively today?
Yes, of course. I mean, if you have a clean sheet, you minimum have 1 point. And I always said with this group of players, we're always able to concede 1 or 2 goals. And that was the case today.
Was patience important in terms of finding that goal in the end?
Yes, but we always tried to be on the front foot. That's what I like today. We were never, maybe, okay, the last 5 minutes when we had 1 or 2 corners to defend. But apart from that, we were always trying to keep them away from goal, to be on the counter-attack. So that was the good thing. That was especially the ones that I liked.
And little tweak, Marcus Rashford a little more centrally. He got in behind quite often today. Was that a ploy? Is that something you want to see from Marcus? A bit more support for Cristiano?
Yeah, we wanted to play with two strikers and with two tens in a semi-position. That was the idea, to get more control in the center of midfield and to put pressure on their defense most of the time, but also make sure that Cristiano was not the only striker. By the way, what Cristiano worked today against the ball, chapeau.
That's shut a few headlines up, hasn't it? Yeah,
thank you.
What about Fred? Doesn't always get the headlines here, but all round today and the finish, the winning goal.
Yeah, and with his right foot. I couldn't believe, I had to ask one of my assistant coaches if it was Fred with the right foot. Normally he can only shoot with his left foot. Yeah, he's a fantastic player, again, against the ball, what he did together with McTominay on 6. This is what you need for this kind of football, and I'm very happy for him, and the whole team congratulated to him for this goal.
And you haven't got much time because you've got games coming thick and fast, but what will you be working on to build on this now in the next few games?
It's always easier to build on things when they're being successful. And I want the players to believe in this kind of football. And I think they also said clean sheet, that's what it's about. So we have to going directly into that direction, what we did today, produce further clean sheets and still get better in creating chances ourselves. So there is still space for improvement for us. But it was more important for me to see the way that they played against the ball today.
Very well done, Ralph.
Thank you. See you next time.
We spent a long time building up to this game, talking about how excited Aston Villa fans are about Steven Gerrard at their club. And nothing we saw today can dispel anything we said earlier. Things are good if you're a Villa fan.
Things are good. I want to reiterate something Robbie Earl said. Steven Gerrard is lucky to have Aston Villa, but Aston Villa is lucky to have Steven Gerrard. I mean, his command of situations, of the way the players look at him, they're almost looking at this godlike figure. The fans, you can hear him, the way he speaks to the referees, he is just so incredibly in control. It's absolutely brilliant.
He's got an aura, hasn't he?
He has, Rebecca, but the interesting thing is, as an ex-player, if you go in a dressing room, that kind of lasts for about 2-3 weeks, and people are asking, what's Steven Gerrard like? And then you've got to be good at your job. And you see the scenes after with the players. He's got a rapport already with them. They're listening to him. They want to have words with him. He's got a rapport with the fans. The way at half-time, he waiting for the referee. It was a big decision that he didn't get the goal. He didn't go crazy. We've seen young managers and managers lose it there. He controlled himself. At the end of the game, he has a word with the referee. He's in such control of himself. Mm. You look at this guy and you think he's headed for big places. And Aston Villa, with that place jumping, 45,000, could be a really good fit.
Well, as a player, he very rarely lost control as well. So if things keep going the way they are, what do you think his target is in his mind for this season?
Well, I think when you hear the piece from earlier, a domestic cup run is important. Get that fan base, which we know is awesome there at Villa Park. Get them out of their seats and traveling. Possibly get them into Europe in one or two seasons so that they can have that journey. But I agree with you. When you talk about the way he reacts and responds, that's because he believes in himself. People who think they have to shout and yell just to bring attention to him, he believes in the job he's going to do behind the scenes. So that's why he's so calm.
Interesting stuff. Let's go to the tunnel at Villa Park and hear from Jacob Ramsey and the goal scorer of the two goals today, Ezri Konsa.
Jacob, Ezri, first of all, a big congratulations. That win now takes you above Leicester into 10th. Just tell us what that means to your club, Jacob.
Yeah, it means great. Before the game, certain results went our way. So before kick-off, the gaffer was like, oh, we can push into the first half of the table. And we got the 3 points, we got the job done.
Ezri, two goals from you. The first goal, I'm sure you were thinking, I'm sure that was my goal.
I didn't want to claim it, you know. I thought, sorry for Emmy. I mean, I thought I was offside. I didn't know until after, so, yeah, two goals and I'm happy.
What about the goal that wasn't a goal for you, Jacob? Because in hindsight, do you feel quite hard done by?
To be fair, I've not seen it back. At the time, I thought it was a goal. I think it might have been a little bit harsh to disallow it, but it is what it is, really.
A very political answer, well done. Let's talk about the performance as a whole then, because it didn't look like an easy game, looked like a battle at times, Ezri, but tell us a bit about what it was like.
Yeah, it was tough. I think Leicester had more of the ball. We know how much of a good side they are. They've got top quality players, but we knew that if we stuck together, we kept a compact shape, it would be hard for them to break us down. And you know, we saw that they didn't have that many chances. I mean, they created a bit in the first half, but second half we was very compact and, you know, done well to keep the shots from minimal.
How much did you focus on set pieces ahead of this game?
I mean, we practice set pieces every week before every game, so I mean, we've got a new set piece coach, Austin. He's brilliant, so I mean, I've got to shout him out for my goal.
In terms of what that win means to your club as well, you've now got 9 points in the last four games under Steven Gerrard. So what is it personally for you guys? You feel like he's doing for you as players?
I think since he's come in, he's gave us a boost. Obviously, before he was here, we lost 5 games on the bounce. He's come in, training's been intense, the standard's gone up. And like you said, we've won 3 games out of 4. So, yeah, looking good at the moment.
Strikers want to take a few hints from you in terms of finishing, perhaps. Will you go and give them a bit of a lesson in that, Ezri?
No, well, you know, because prior to my 2 goals today, I kept missing in front of goal. Wednesday night, you didn't see, I missed in front of goal, so you know, I'm just happy I got the 2 goals and got a win.
Guys, congratulations. Well done.
Thank you very much.
Lovely stuff there. Well, isn't it going well for Steven Gerrard and the Aston Villa fans? But there are two sides to this coin. I'll take you over to Graham Lasseau and Arlo White, because bad, bad day again for Brendan Rodgers. Chaps, over to you.
Yes, and Brendan Rodgers against his former captain, Steven Gerrard. So it's Gerrard 2 wins against Rodgers 1 as managers against each other. If we're going to start with Leicester, defending set pieces appears to be optional for them. How often can this be allowed to happen before serious questions are asked?
Well, it is fundamental. I think looking at Aston Villa, they certainly targeted Kasper Schmeichel. He's not the biggest goalkeeper. So there's a lot of players sort of standing and crowding around that six-yard box, and that creates a distraction. And the amount of times balls went to the far post and then were either returned back across the goal, and that always is difficult. As a defender, you're sort of going one way, and then you've got to change and go the other, and you're reacting. It's very hard to mark against those things. And the winning goal was just poor. Soyuncu there, not touch tight, not forcing Konsa into sort of making any mistake under pressure. It was quite a simple header, as long as he got it on target. So that's really disappointing. And I just feel for Leicester that they don't have that sort of that cutting edge. But Harvey Barnes was the bright spark. But all in all, I thought it was an average performance by Leicester.
How impressed, conversely, are you with Steven Gerrard and Aston Villa?
Well, the second half in particular, they dealt with Leicester, who played a bit better in the first half. But the second half, they really dominated. I like the physicality. We mentioned that in the comms. But the way they played, the way they kept in the game and then, I think, used the pain of that goal being disallowed to really motivate them. And as we said before, it feels like they are being built in the image of Steven Gerrard, aren't they?
Yes, they certainly are.
Well, Stephen, first of all, congratulations. You seem as out of breath as your players did.
Yeah, you do kick every ball on the side. It was a tough game. It was a tough game, and obviously it went right to the wire. I thought we were... Seen two sides of us today. Second half, we were outstanding to a man all over the pitch. Started winning our duels, winning the second ball, started to compete better. But in the first 45, we give the ball away too much. We were too open, and Leicester caused us too many problems on the transition. So a lot for us to look at as well.
In terms of the goals that were scored, Ezri Konsa obviously getting the first one. To get that 3 minutes later, he did get that, by the way.
Did he?
He did. Okay. Just got a foot to it. To get that one only a few minutes after conceding the first goal, were you pleased with that reaction?
Yeah, it's really important. I thought Leicester started really well. I think that was a combination of them having good players and dangerous players going forward, but also I thought we were too passive in too many areas of the pitch. When we were making passes, we were... loads of sloppy turnovers when we were vulnerable, when we were open. So I wasn't happy with our first half performance at all. So we had to give them a few home truths at half time, and the reaction they gave second half was much more like what we want.
Just before half time, Jacob Ramsey could have scored a goal. We did score a goal, got disallowed, got overturned by VAR. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, look, I mean, VAR get many looks at it from the side. Obviously, as the manager of Aston Villa, you're disappointed and frustrated. But you know, we have to respect the officials and VAR. They have a better view at it. They get the opportunity to see it more than once. So we just have to get on with it. But I thought second half we had, two or three really good chances to kill the game at 2-1. I thought Ollie was fantastic second half. That chance when he's gone through, if he lifts it over the keeper, maybe we can finish the game a lot quicker. And that's the reason why we had a few nervy moments at the end.
Emi Martinez stopped a brilliant opportunity as well. Doesn't always get a lot of credit in the goalkeeper side of things.
Well, look, he was much more busier in the first half. But I thought as a team and a unit, we defended his goal a lot better second half. They've had one big moment. It's a good header, but it's a top save. But against a good team like Leicester, the way they've been coached, to just give one chance away in the second half, that's not too bad.
How big a win does this feel? Because what it does is put you above Leicester. It's also a local rivalry in a way. And, of course, we can't not mention the fact that it's a win over Brendan Rodgers as well.
Well, look, if we can find the second-half performance over 90 minutes, because we had to ask for that at half-time against Man City, so we've still got loads of teething problems. We'll review the first four games, but to take 9 points from 12 is a big return from the players. So they deserve a lot of credit for that. But there's still loads of work to do on the training ground. A few are still not sure and committing properly to what we want, just because they're not sure and it's a little bit different for them. We've got a full week now into Liverpool where we can get back on the training pitch and iron a few team problems out, and then hopefully we'll be better come next week.
That next stop, Liverpool, any sentimental thoughts in your head?
None. None at all. Just want to go there and try and win and try and take what we can. For us, we're not competing with Liverpool in terms of the level we're both at the moment, but we'll certainly go there and give everything we've got. We took City to the wire, and I believe we should have took something out of the game with our second half performance. So we go there with confidence and belief, with 3 wins out of 4, and we're going to try and make it as difficult as we can.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tim, Robbie, Antonio Conte. Mm. This morning, first thing this morning, long time ago, about 7:05, yeah. You said... Tottenham, sneaky good. Well, they are now, where is it, up to fifth in the table. They have a game in hand, which is against Burnley after that game was snowed off. It's in a funny way, they're going under the radar a little bit.
Yeah.
just as Conte would want, sneaky good manager who's been bought in, who's got methodology, who's got processes of winning things, Rebecca. The gap's too big to close to the top three.
Is it, though? I mean,
yeah.
They're 33
with the quality
points,
of player,
Chelsea.
Rebecca, and what he's going to demand, there will be periods in the season that they won't be quite at this level. But the organisation, the responsibility, the transfer window that comes in January, they are fighting for fourth spot right now. And with Antonio Conte, you wouldn't bet against them if, and the big if is, can they get Harry Kane scoring?
Well, that's the point. I mean, if they are fifth right now and within touching distance of fourth, and Harry Kane's got one goal all season, if he catches a light and does Tim what we know he can do, why can't they challenge for the top three?
You're so romantic. You are. You're so romantic.
Thank you, my friend.
Because, and I appreciate it, I love it, because they have the same defensive unit that they've had for way too long.
They've got a different guy in charge now as well. They've got a different guy in charge.
Some of these guys... Look, what I will say...
He's like, really?
What I will say is, listen, yes, if we can get Harry Kane scoring, if he can get 15-plus goals, yeah, you start to think Conte has a way of managing his teams that give them that extra boost. But I think defensively they're still... They're too poor to be in the top four. I think that frailty will continue throughout the rest of the season.
Doesn't the Thomas Tuchel thing give you any belief that it can be done? He went into Chelsea and completely changed that back line and the way they played.
Better players, far better players, not having it.
Is Kane going to get to 15 goals?
Yes. He's too good not
the
to.
Prince?
He's too good not
don't
to.
Don't even doubt it.
One goal and it's December. You've got a long way to go. Okay, another storyline that caught our attention this weekend was Ralph Hasenhüttl. Mm. So Alex McCarthy, the Southampton goalkeeper, towards the end of the game against Brighton, Southampton were winning 1-0, had a hamstring injury. They had a substitution they could have used. They didn't. He didn't say he was injured. James Ward-Prowse ran back on the line when that free kick was taken, then came back out, which meant that he was playing Neil Mopé onside. Had Ward-Prowse not gone to the line, then come back out, Mopé would have been offside. Southampton would have won the game. Now, according to the manager, Ralph Hasenhüttl, Tim, Alex McCarthy had asked Ward-Prowse to come back and help him on the line because he had this hamstring injury. After the game, Hasenhüttl was furious with his goalkeeper. What's your take on the situation?
Well, I think Ralph Hasenhüttl is wrong. He shouldn't throw any player or his goalkeeper under the bus. If he's angry with him, and maybe he has a right to be angry with him, hash that out in the dressing room, no problem. Ward-Prowse drops back on the line. He's the captain. McCarthy's the starting goalkeeper. If they had that's obviously not something they work on a training ground because Ralph doesn't agree with it. So maybe it was, I have a little hamstring issue, I need your help. That's fine, but anybody who knows, you drop back on the line, you then get yourself back up and play the players offside. I know it happened quickly. Irregardless of how he feels, shouldn't address it there in the media.
I just wonder in that situation where the staff, you've got a goalkeeping coach, because apparently he's had this injury for about 5 minutes, McCarthy. Get the goalkeeping coach to get over there and find out what's going on. Mm. Now, if he's not up to it, get the change made. You're better with a fit goalkeeper in there who can dive and apparently couldn't kick McCarthy than a goalkeeper who's limping around and look what's happened. But I didn't like from Ralph Hasenhüttl. It's not normally his style to throw somebody under the bus publicly.
And is that the sort of thing that the relationship between McCarthy and Ralph can come back from?
Yes, but it's also the relationship that can hurt a dressing room that one or two of the other players might not like it. The Ward-Prowse might have thought, I was trying to help out and he's done it. So normally he's very good with those man management and those little intricacies in the dressing room. So it'll be interesting to see over the next week or two.
Tim, had you been McCarthy with the hamstring injury, would you have said to the manager, I need to come off?
No.
No chance?
No chance.
Would you have asked Ward-Prowse to help you out?
You know what? I'd have hedged my bets and just thought he's not going to hit it over the wall. He didn't hit it over the wall. He hit the wall. The chances of the striker hitting the target in those situations is very low. I'd have just left it.
Would you be okay if the manager had called you out, though, after it, like he's called out McCarthy? Would you be okay next week?
Not publicly. So would I be okay mentally, you mean?
No, just...
I wouldn't be happy with the manager calling me out, but I've been called out a time or two, so I just go in my corner and be quiet.
All right, finally, we want to talk about Burnley, because it's not often that they make headlines. At the moment, they're only making headlines for poor performances. They've won one game all season. They're in the relegation zone, one game in 14. They have that game in hand, which is against Tottenham. Robbie, I'll come to you first. Yeah. Is this the season that Sean Dyche finally runs out of luck? Because in Dyche,
I have it written down. I can never do that to Sean Dyche. This year looks a little bit dicey, but I liked what James Tarkowski said after the game. We've all been there before. We've got an experienced group, and we trust in the process. trusting in the process.
It's a buzz phrase.
Yeah, Maxwell Cornet is injured, which is a worry because he's got 5 goals, and Chris Wood, I think, has got 3 at the moment, and struggling, and Vidra and Rodriguez and one or two others. But it's Sean Dyche, Becky. He'll be okay.
Are you trusting, Tim?
Yeah, I mean, I have it written down. I knew he was going to say that. He's a romantic. They'll stay up.
You have no worries about Sean Dyche this season?
No, they're leaving a little bit late. They usually hit their stride before this, but I think they'll stay up.
If they were to sack him, who would you get in place? Oh, Sean Dyche.
It'd be better. Yeah, correct.
Got him there.
They'll be fine.
Okay, interesting.
Well, what a finish to that one. Thanks for coming back to the studio with us, Paul Burmeister, alongside Danny Higginbotham and Tim Howard. Considering all that's happened in the last 24 hours there at Everton, to win there at home in that fashion, how meaningful is it to that group?
Credit to the club. There was no fan protest. Very few fans walked out. Nothing to speak of. The players stood up to the challenge and the test. I thought Rafa Benitez, credit to him, he made some real important substitutions. In the second half, they played much better. It was a much, much needed performance.
I think when you look at what Everton stand for, you go all the way back to when Tim was there, it was the endeavour, it was the hard work, it was, you know, the never-beaten attitude, and that's exactly what they had today. You know, Arsenal, yes, they took the lead. I thought Everton were the better team in the first half, and then they came back into it. And let's not forget, they had 2 goals disallowed as well from VAR, right. And they just kept going and fully deserved to get the victory.
What were those substitutions, the key plays there by the manager, Rafa Benitez, that you just pointed out?
Well, I think bringing Gomez into the middle of the park, it was really slow. You want to get Gray in those wide areas. You want to get Richarlison in those wide areas, isolated. In order to do that, you have to move the ball quickly through midfield. It just wasn't happening. When Allen dictates the play, it's a little bit slow because he's deeper lying. So to bring on Gomez and to get his energy and passing in the midfield, it was all the difference.
Other side for Arsenal, that is now 2 matches in a row, 2 in less than a week's time here, Danny, where they were up by 1,
yeah.
But in the end they lose.
I think you talk about Everton and Rafa Benitez's experience making the changes. I thought there was a real naivety about Arsenal on and off the pitch. Decisions they made on the pitch. Xhaka, who was on a yellow card, first game back in quite a while, he had an opportunity to make a challenge on the halfway line leading to the goal from Gomez, but he knew if he did, then he was going to be getting a red card. So I was amazed that a substitution wasn't made where Xhaka could have been relieved of his duties.
We talked about this at halftime as well, Tim. From the start, you weren't really that impressed with Arsenal after they had just lost 2 of the last 3.
Yeah, I was expecting a reaction from them after the Manchester United game. Mikel Arteta didn't get that, and in order to get those reactions, he needed to make the changes, which we didn't see.
Well, Rafa, you said before the match, we need to stick together. Is that the result when you do?
Yeah, I think it's very clear. When the fans, the players, everybody stick together, we are stronger. So the reaction of the team, scoring a goal disallowed, conceding a goal at the end of the first half, another goal disallowed, and still scoring goals and reacting. So that is what you are expecting from every Everton Football Club player, and every fan is expecting that. So I think that everybody is really pleased. Fans, players, staff, everyone, hopefully is the right there step forward.
Is it fair to say there was probably more than one point during that game where you thought, this is what happens when you're on a bad run, it's not going to be our night?
Yeah, because the bar was, I don't know if the lines can be thicker or not, but the bar was quite against us all the time, and then still the reaction was brilliant. So when you have this, I said so many times, we were close to, a lot of games, close to win or close to get something. Today was another example. As you say, everything is against you, still the commitment of the players, the reaction, the character that they show today is what we are expecting, with the fans behind, and everybody can enjoy that.
Did you expect to see that character that they showed after going behind, after having the VAR goals? Did you?
Yeah.
Teams in a bad run sometimes collapse in a heap,
no,
and you didn't.
Yeah, but no, we saw character against Southampton, we saw character against Marley. So the team has saw this mentality that everybody was expecting. I remember the fans at the beginning, they were really pleased with the players because they were giving everything and they care. And then today was exactly the same. It's a pity, as you say, because in a bad run, maybe some people will have any doubt, but the players are really, really strong mentally, and then they're ready to change things quickly.
So how pleased were you with the way the fans stuck with you this evening? Because we spoke before the game, it felt like one before a ball was kicked, that it could go either way with your supporters this evening.
No, really, in terms of the fans are expecting support, unexpected commitment from the players. The players, they are doing that. So you can talk about sometimes mistakes, or then the other day we concede because we made mistakes against a good team. But in the final third, some accuracy in the passes or whatever. But in terms of commitment, the players are there. The fans, they appreciate that. And what they want is to see the team that has spent a lot of money getting better and better. And I said before, we will do it. It will take some time, but we will do it.
And it was some atmosphere by the end, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think everybody was suffering because it was a bad run. And then the reaction of everyone is just that they believe that we can do well. So I think everybody now has the hope that we can do well.
What were your emotions at the end? Relief looked like what you were experiencing.
Yeah, to be fair, I was disappointed because we didn't deserve to be losing in the first half. And then after, with all the bad decisions against us, it was something that you say, can't be like that. Then the way that they reacted, they called the last goal, was amazing. So I think that it's just more belief that we are trying to do is the right thing.
Longer term, Rafa, I want to ask you again, if I can, about Marcel Brands leaving the club. What does that mean in real terms for Everton and how it's run moving forward?
It means that we have to start working right now, preparing the future. The future now is short term, it's January, and after, at the same time, we have to think about long term. So I think the fact that the club has changed managers in the past, now they want to do things, something long term, with an idea very clear what we want to achieve. So I think we will try to do that. So with my experience and with the people that we have around in the club, I think that we can guide things in a direction that hopefully will be the right one.
So does it give you more control in the transfer market to guide Everton's path forward in January? And, yeah, and beyond that,
you can say it in this way. So it's just to be sure that the people are working now, they can give us all the information that we need to be sure that we make the right decisions.
And do you prefer that structure, Rafa, without a director of football, where you can make the decisions and operate in the transfer market?
Yeah, it's not what I prefer. I was working for years with a director of football. It's not an issue. So the question here is that now we have to think about the future. We have a situation that we have to take responsibility, and we will do it.
And I want to ask you again about Luka Dean. We spoke about it before the game. He's not injured. I don't think he's ill, but he wasn't involved this evening. Can you tell us any more now?
Yeah, what I can say is that the main thing for me, the priority, is the team. Then we have to concentrate on the team. And I think that Ben Godfrey did really well last year, so I thought he could be a good option today.
So, without any more information, it sounds like a falling out, Rafa, to be honest.
No, it sounds like Ben Godfrey is a good player, and then we have to get the best from him.
Okay, well done tonight. Brilliant.
Thank you. Okay, thank you.
Welcome along to this week's edition of The Lowdown, presented by Lexus. I'm Rebecca Lowe, and in our studio today, Robbie Earle, Tim Howard. It's when the tables are turned and the chaps ask me the tough questions. I've got 30 seconds to answer each one. We've got five questions and I've got a moment of the week. So, Tim, you've got question number one, and I don't know what these questions are.
What are your initial impressions of the Ralph Rangnick era at Manchester United?
My initial impressions is it's not really much clearer or more ordered than it was before he arrived. I just don't understand the philosophy of we'll give you 6 months and then we're going to give you a 2-year consultancy. But according to Ralph Rangnick, he doesn't really know what that means. He doesn't really know what consultancy is going to be really about. Is it going to be about the players? Is it going to be about the structure of the club? So that's like clear as mud. And also, I come back to this thing, Tim. If the guy is the right manager to take them to the top four, which is what they want to do this season, and he takes them into the top four, is he not then worthy of a go? So if they then give him the job, which, by the way, none of us would put it past United to give him the job in the summer, why didn't they give him the job at the beginning? The whole thing to me continues to be a touch shambolic.
Ooh. Okay. We'll move on. Question two. Big race for fourth spot in the Premier League.
Yep.
Which of these two clubs is better placed to finish there? Wonderful West Ham or sneaky Spurs?
Oh, I think I'm going to have to go sneaky Spurs. They are sneaky good, to use your phrase, this weekend. And it comes down to two things. One, the manager, not because I don't think David Moyes is good, because he's done an amazing job and he's maybe doing the best job he's ever done at any club, but because of the depth. I mean, you will see Mikel Antonio struggling to score goals. I know they just beat Chelsea, but he's not scored in a while, and they don't have any other real strikers at the club, and he often gets an injury, a muscle injury or two. Whereas Spurs have depth. Kane's going to come good again. Conte's a magician. I'm going with sneaky
Lingard
Spurs.
For West Ham in the window?
I don't think he should ever go back. Lingard, I think, should go somewhere else.
That's an extra question.
I just don't think you should. If Lingard's done it brilliantly there before, just stay brilliant and go somewhere else.
Okay.
It's like Joe Willock at Newcastle. Shouldn't have done it.
Sorry.
I've got all the Ralph questions.
Okay, more Ralph.
Is Ralph Hasenhuttl correct to to be angry at his goalkeeper for the Mopey equaliser?
Well, I suppose there's two questions. Is he correct to be angry? Yes. Mm-hmm. Is he correct to come out and say it? Both of you think no. I quite like it. I quite like it. Because,
of course you would.
Well, because I think that the goalkeeper let down the team. And sometimes, that you know, Ralph takes enough stick. The managers take all the stick. Players hardly ever get any stick. So do you know what? Every now and then, when a player makes a rick and he made an error and he stayed on when he should have come off and told them he was going to come off, and then he played Neil, or Ward-Prowse played Neil Mopey onside, I think, fair enough, Ralph. Show him who's boss.
Harsh.
Ooh.
No!
Harsh. Everybody thinks a three-horse race this time for the Premier League title. How concerned should Liverpool be with losing Mane and Salah in the African Cup of Nations?
Concerned. Two reasons. One, because it could end up being for quite a long time. They've got Chelsea a few days before they go, which we don't know yet. They may miss, or they may get to play and then get called up. Then I think it's Chelsea and Palace and Brentford that they definitely miss. Possibly Leicester when they come back the other end. And we don't know about quarantine rules. Possible FA Cup. Mm. That's four Premier League games, possibly.
Yeah.
The problem is that between now and then, so much could happen because the amount of games over Christmas and New Year. Mm. As long as they can absolutely be neck and neck and no more than a point or two behind.
Point or two.
City or Chelsea, I think, at the turn of the year. Mm. I still think it's going to be bad, though. I mean, I still think even if they're neck and neck at the turn of the year, losing Mane and Salah for that maybe four games, that's a worry. I think it's a big worry. Last question?
That was important. Let's wrap this up. Simple question, simple answer. Should dates and raisins be included as sweeteners in baked goods?
Okay, can I just give everyone the context? Question. If you go onto my Instagram stories, you'll see that I baked. So kind, right? I baked for my fellow teammates this weekend. Healthy cookies, no sugar.
Healthy.
Dates and raisins were the sweetener used. Now, in 2021, most people understand that sugar isn't the best thing for you. So I tried to keep these guys alive by giving them dates and raisins as a sweetener. And actually, you gave it a 6, which was incredibly harsh. You gave it
eight.
Eight and a half.
I thought that was fair. Yeah.
So, anyway, neither of them left a crumb. So I think it's fair to say my healthy cookies using dates and raisins as sweeteners was an absolute raving success. This is the lowdown. You see, we cover all topics. Now, my moment of the week, presented by Lexus, has to be the West Ham goal, because I love Arthur Masuaku. He's like, I really don't know what to do. I'm just going to just chuck it in the mixer. Oh, mishit it, and then beats Edouard Mendy at the near post. But it's the dithering over the ball that for ages that he was just like, oh, I just don't know what to do. And then they managed to beat Chelsea. And you can't help but love a celebratory David Moyes. I don't think, Tim, when he was at Everton, we saw a lot of that, did we?
They didn't win that much.
That's true. Oh, Timbo, it's absolutely true. But I do think the celebrating that we're seeing on the pitch from Moyes recently has been absolutely lovely stuff.
What an atmosphere at the end. What a winner. And to be honest, I never thought I'd see Arthur Masuaku score a winning goal like that.
No, it was a great cross, wasn't it? in football, you take everything you get. I mean, we actually didn't play as well as we could play today, so the good thing is that we scored three goals, feeling that we've not played as well as we could have. And maybe in the other games where we've not played quite as well, we've just not got the goals to go with it, and we've had the chances to do so. But, players showed great resilience, great character to come back from being behind twice in the game. We lose the goal just before half time when we were going in one each instead of 2-1 down, which was a huge blow. We lose a player, and then in the end we're sort of messing around a little bit, trying to patch up the team just before half time. But it just shows they've kept at it and got the rewards in the end.
Had Ben Johnson not been injured in trying to get back, do you think they would have scored that second goal?
Well, I would have hated to think that Ben wouldn't have got back and stopped it. I was more annoyed that he didn't cross it, because I thought he had a chance to cross the ball in the box when he came inside on his right foot. I've not seen it again, and he chose to play square, which inevitably, I think it was Declan and Thomas contrived to sort of give it away and let them go. But I would have hoped that Ben would have got back, and that really, it gave me a sour taste at half time, because when you're chasing the European champions, you're 2-1 down. We've picked up a couple of injuries at the time, and we've already got a couple. It meant it was going to be difficult.
The three games you've had, the three previous results have gone flat against you. Did you need a game like this? Did you need a Chelsea here at the London Stadium?
Possibly. But, I wouldn't have turned around and said that I played any better today and get the result than I did in midweek. What I got today is I got people who finished. Jared had a brilliant finish. Got a brilliant finish for the goal. And, yeah, we got a bit lucky with the third one, but, you know, in football, you need a bit of luck and you need things to go for you. The other games, like, for example, the other night against Brighton, a VAR decision didn't go for us, which might have put us 2-0 up at one point. So it's all fine margins, and today they just went slightly for us.
Bowen was terrific for you, wasn't he?
Oh, in the second half, he was great. And that's what he needs to play like, you know, and he needs to play like it because he was a goal threat. He probably should have scored another one as well after it to make it 4-2. So, look, we were in the game. We never got ourselves out of it. But I thought Chelsea played really well at times and made it difficult for us.
You've already, without Ogbonna, of course, injured Zuma today and young Ben as well. You can't afford any more of these injuries
no,
at the back,
no,
can you?
We picked up one with Man City, with Creswell as well. So we're just beginning to creak. And, I mean, we played Brighton in midweek and you were here. And, you know, they got three injuries in midweek in the game. You know, today we are a bit the same, so... Look, we all love our football and we like to see it, but I think you've got to be careful that we're not taking the players too far.
But how much finally was this a statement victory for you at the end? You've won it 3-2 because people were saying, oh, West Ham, look, they've had a bright start. Oh, gosh, they're now going to fall away. This is a big, massive win for you.
Yeah, but I need us to be consistent, not just win one big game. And I think in the main, you have to say we have been consistent. I don't necessarily see it as a statement victory. I want to play these teams and give them a game, and I want to think that we might have a chance of winning it, and we've done that to a couple of the teams at the moment. This week alone, we've had Champions League finalists and the Champions League winners. So, you know, we've lost 2-1 at Man City, and we've beaten Chelsea 3-2 today. So, no, it's I wouldn't say it's what we want. I'd like to win them both, but still have to say it's a good return from the two games.
But you do have the injuries. You know I'm always available for you, though up and back in the same month, a little bit difficult.
You look a bit better than you were in midweek. Must have a good physio.
Thank you.
Cheers, thank you.
See you later.
See you later.
That does it for this edition of the Premier League on NBC podcast. Be sure to check out other episodes where you'll get a collection of our most spirited in-studio debates, as well as exclusive on-site access. Plus, don't miss out on Premier League mornings, weekends at 7 a.m. Eastern on NBCSN and Peacock Premium. Bye for now.